Uber drivers and Lyft drivers in all things taxi, I'll say. I don't know, is that the right way, Mitch? Taxi? Do we even say taxis anymore? Or what do you say when you're hailing a cab? Back in the day, we'd hail a cab. I don't know what...
Rideshare?
You hail a rideshare?
Call a rideshare?
Call a rideshare? Because you're on the apps. You're not really calling. You're clicking a rideshare?
Call an Uber, I think is...
Is that the...
We always say call. It's we don't call, but we always say we do.
So let's say you're at the, you know, at Milwaukee's Summerfest and you need to get home and they say, hey, somebody, we need to get a vehicle to get us back to our home. Can you...
Call an Uber.
Call an Uber?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you say, Mitch?
Absolutely.
Call. So do you guys ever call a Lyft?
Yes.
Do you call a Lyft? Do
no.
You...
Same thing with the Uber. You press the button to get a Lyft, but we call it call a Lyft.
Call a Lyft. I've heard call a Uber. Hey, I'm going to call it or I'm going to get a Uber. Yeah. Kate, what do you do?
I would call.
You would call?
Yes.
Like physically call?
No.
You'd go to the phone booth and get the phone?
If I had a few quarters on me, I would do that as well. Yeah.
If they have any of those anymore. I don't know if they do. Interesting. So I just got off the phone with somebody who was involved in a crash involving an Uber. And it was just an interesting conversation because we were talking about all things Uber and whether you have insurance, whether you have MedPay insurance. And then I was going down the rabbit hole of ride shares with this person. So I was like, oh, well, why, you know, while this is fresh on my mind, I'm going to drag some people from the office here and talk about ride shares and Ubers and Lyfts and what's the alternative? Maybe not really bird scooters.
Yeah, birds and limes are the main scooters.
But those are those considered ride shares?
No.
No. Are there any other ride shares out there besides like Milwaukee Taxi or different taxis around the area? Is there any other ride share? Just Uber and Lyft, right?
Correct.
Unless you get like a limo service, is that under the same umbrella or is that a different umbrella?
I think limos would be it. Limos, Ubers, Lyfts. Just making sure we're complete here with anything else. I think the big two are Ubers and Lyfts. Anyway, so this is going to put somebody on the spot. What's the parent company of Uber? Anybody know?
Razor? Razor, R-A-S-I-E-R, LLC.
And that's important probably just for us. I don't think anybody really knows, unless you're an Uber driver. And when you sign up for Uber to be a driver, you have to sign all these documents to say that, you know, you can drive and you're clicking on documents and signing documents electronically. And that's with Razor LLC. We know that because Razor is the one that actually is the insured. When an Uber driver is involved in a crash, we'll get letters from, right now, I guess let me put somebody else in the spot. I'll put Mitch in the spot. Which insurance company now do we see most as the insurer for an Uber driver?
Allstate.
So that's important. I'll pull this up on my screen because I know that I just had one before that it's a letter from Allstate saying insured is Razor LLC. And it's not the actual driver of the Uber. It's the LLC, the Limited Liability Corporation or company, Razor LLC. And my understanding is that it's kind of going back and forth. Way back in the day, and I'm aging myself, I think it was like Redwood. Remember this? Way back, it was a whole separate insurance company that was like Redwood or something like that, that insured Uber. And now they went more recently to, I'll call them the Big Four. So Allstate, Farmers Insurance, Liberty Mutual Insurance, or Progressive are the four that most likely insure Razor LLC, which is the parent company of Uber. So then I know, Rose, you've been looking at a case right now, right? That's a case for an Uber driver?
Tangentially, the Uber driver was driving our client.
So our client's a passenger.
Our client was a passenger, and there was no fault or liability given to the Uber driver.
Okay. So in that situation, if the at-fault party that hit the Uber car has insurance, it would be a claim against their insurance. And if the at-fault party did not have insurance, then it would be a claim against Uber's uninsured motorist coverage. Okay. and I'll put you on the spot again. What's the minimum for uninsured motorist in Wisconsin?
250?
25. 25. I wish it was 250. That's great. I like that you're going high. I wish it was $250,000. It's $25,000 for underinsured. It's $50,000. But you know, that's what's concerning with these cases is you don't know what the limits are. And we just had, I don't know who was talking, Kate or Mitch, about $1 million policy. Is that you, Kate?
That was me. I can explain that if you'd like.
Yeah. So if you have a claim involving Uber, and now this is not Lyft, we're just talking about Uber. Well, here, let me go back. Lyft has, the last I seen was Travelers Insurance, I think. And I don't know if they have a multitude of insurance companies that they work with, but I know that Travelers is one of them. Is that your recollection, Mitch?
Yeah, Travelers mostly. Mobilitas is another one that insures them.
Mobilitas. Okay. I don't know how to spell
M-O-B-I-L-I-T-A-S.
Okay. All right. So that's for Lyft. So back to Uber. Uber has, let's say, a policy with Allstate. And then where would the $1 million in coverage come into play?
The $1 million coverage would come in play if you had accepted client a rideshare, you were en route to pick them up. I'm looking at the cert right now, en route to pick them up and or transporting them. That would trigger the $1 million.
So if you're, let's say you're just drop somebody off at Summerfest and you're an Uber driver and you're going to the Holiday Inn to pick up somebody else, but you haven't got them yet. Would the $1 million policy apply?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's about the app and they accepted the rideshare.
Okay.
That triggers the higher limits on the policy.
So I have a case, I'm looking here at one of our other cases that where there was a $250,000 uninsured motorist claim, and this was for a passenger on an Uber. So you know, we can, I guess, talk about these. You know, this is why it's important to get an attorney, a law firm that understands this, because you know you really need to know when and where you're going to get the most compensation. But if your injuries are that severe, how are you going to know that what you're getting is the most coverage, right? And this is one, it's an uninsured motorist case. This is my understanding is that the limits were $250,000, but that's for uninsured motorists. So there's a passenger in an Uber car, and I just say car because I should say Uber vehicle because I'm not quite sure if it's Uber Black or the Uber SUV, but Uber vehicle. And they were hit by an uninsured motorist, and Uber had only $250,000 in coverage for uninsured motorists. Is that your understanding, Mitch?
Yes. Yep.
Could they have more? Could a victim, could a passenger in an Uber car have the ability to get more coverage or have more coverage for uninsured motorists?
Yeah, they could. I guess then it just comes down to which policy is primary or excess.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they could have their own insurance, right? They could have
Correct.
Their own policy for their own car.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
In fact, when you are an Uber driver and a Lyft driver and you sign an agreement to do this rideshare, you actually sign and agree that you will maintain the minimum state insurance. Now, in the business, we've seen a lot of these drivers don't and rely on Uber and or Lyft policies to be primary. So that's another issue, too, of which at that time, say there's two policies, which one is going to be primary, which one is going to be excess.
And if there's the minimum policy, let's say you're quote unquote fully covered in Wisconsin, what's the minimum dollar amount of insurance for that person? Rose, what's the minimum?
$25,000.
Correct.
So what does it cost if you get a flight for life from anywhere to, let's say, Fredert? Rose, do you know the average cost?
I do not.
$20,000.
I was going to say 15 to 20, easy.
Yeah. I was going to say more, but that it's already a lot. Yeah,
it's a lot. So it's almost the whole, you know, quote unquote, full coverage. So we have clients who call us all the time and say, hey, I have full coverage. I was hit by an uninsured motorist and I don't understand what full coverage is, because insurance agents oftentimes say, yeah, you are fully covered because you meet the state minimums. But in my mind, that $25,000 does almost nothing. Certainly if you're really severely injured and you're relying on that to make you whole, you know, quote unquote, make you whole. I hate that phrase, because you can never be made whole if you're that, you know, that badly injured.
But correct.
$25,000 isn't going to get you very far. So we got Allstate, Progressive, Travelers, Farmers for Uber. And then for Lyft, we have Mobilitas and
Travelers for Lyft. Liberty Mutual also was the other Uber one.
Thank you. Okay. I'm not going to go into that now, because that's going to be another 15-minute conversation, but we could talk about Lime and Bird and that kind of stuff, but that's a whole different tangent that I'm not going to go on. What else? Do we know, do they have insurance adjusters that are local in Wisconsin for victims who were injured by an Uber vehicle? What's your experience? I mean, I'm trying to think of one that I had here. I think they were in Chicago. I remember I was going to say that.
Correct. You
know, like the headquarters.
Yeah, in Bloomingdale or Bloomington, I believe, which is for Allstate. If it's an Allstate, all of the claims came out of that office for me.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I'm looking at a letter we have here. This is for an uninsured motorist case, and this is where, you know, certainly we can add some benefit, add some peace of mind, because this is a letter from Allstate to a passenger in an Uber vehicle, because they're making a claim for an uninsured motorist claim. And the letter says that, boy, all these things. It's your policy has several requirements around the claim process, communicating with us in writing before you take any action, providing us with all pertinent information, damage documentation, send us a list of medical providers. You have to protect Allstate Insurance Company's subrogation rights. Do not settle with another party before you give them notice, before you give them reasonable notice so they can determine a proper course of action. Cooperate with us. If you don't do this, then you may be outside the policy, so you would not get the benefit of the uninsured motorist, and then you would truly have no way to get any recovery. So they're making this a little bit more difficult by saying you have to comply with all of our requirements, and then we will allow you to get any money from us, and then Allstate would stand in the shoes of the at-fault party. And this is something where I think it's, let me go on, I don't know who we should talk to about this. It's important that we get in the middle earlier on, because what can happen if somebody gives the insurance company an authorization to get all their medical records? Kate?
Without being represented?
Correct.
It's a blanket authorization.
Correct.
And they're going to seek any and all medical records. They're basically going to delve into your entire life to try to minimize your claim.
Yeah.
So pay less.
I've seen cases where a blanket authorization has been signed, and I called my client when I got the medical records. So my client sent the authorization before they hired an attorney. I get hired. I send a letter off to the insurance company saying the authorization is now void. I want copies of everything you've gotten. I get literally a basket of records in the mail, box of records in the mail. And the very first record was her birth record. And I called my client and said, hey, I know I think she was like 36 at the time, but I'm looking at, you know, you were 8 pounds, 4 ounces when you're born. She was like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, because the medical records that the insurance company that is adverse to you, that's against you, they're looking at every single record in your, you know, from your entire life.
Life, correct.
Which is scary. Yeah. I think that's just unnecessary, right?
It's an absolute overreach, but they do it knowing that if they're not represented by counsel, they wouldn't know any better.
Correct. Yep, and that's where, you know, letters like this from Allstate, from the insurance company that's supposed to be paying for your damages and through no fault of your own, you're just a passenger in an Uber and you're involved in a crash, and now you have to make a claim against Uber's insurance, and they're sending this letter saying you need to do X, Y, and Z. And I mean, right away, what, you're fearful that if you sign something if you don't sign something that you're supposed to sign, they're going to deny your claim.
Correct.
And that probably happens pretty often, right, Mitch? Where do they get that fear?
They get that fear, and then The issue is when they actually do sign that document, because then they actually give up their rights to the claim.
Yeah.
And we see that far too often.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's cases where, yeah, they've, all states or insurance companies in general, say, have pretended like they're on their side and that they're a good neighbor and they're trying to help them out. And then documents are signed and the client or the potential client comes to us and says, hey, can you help me? And we look it over and it's like, oh man, we wish you would have called us, you know, 2 weeks earlier, because we could have helped you, but we can't. All right, good information. So Uber, Lyft are ride shares, and we're going to call an Uber or call a Lyft, which just doesn't sound right to me. So I'm going to keep on saying that until it sounds right. And then next time or sometime in the future, we're going to talk about Bird and Lime. Bird, are there any Lime. More of those out there?
There are. In the local area, though, Bird and Lime.
Have you ever gone on a...
I have.
Bird?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yep.
Man, you're brave. I would never.
And the bubbler bikes, boobler bikes?
Yeah. I think it's bubbler.
I think
bubbler?
There was some big thing about that with the city and people getting...
With the bubblers?
Yes, I believe if you...
Really?
I will have to research it and then I can join
in. I haven't seen the Limes and the Birds out recently, though.
I see bubblers.
In downtown, at least.
The reason to cut you off, the reason I said Limes and Birds, I literally just saw... not a rack, but a bunch of them together, where it was like three Limes and three Birds,
yep.
Which seemed weird that their, you know, competitors are in line together right east of us on Blue Mound Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry, Rose.
I was going to say that they're not allowed in some parts of downtown, and it seems like the parts where they're not allowed just keep getting bigger and bigger, so they're pretty confined, so... which takes away from the point of them if you're just trying to get like half a mile across downtown. You might not be able to do that.
Well, and what if you leave them somewhere that they aren't allowed? Is that...
They get picked up by a trailer.
Like
I've seen it happen, and I was like, I feel like I'm not supposed to be seeing this.
Picked up by a trailer, well, like a city trailer?
No, like the workers for Bird or
right, employees.
Lime.
Oh,
and they, okay. They got to come by and charge them and, you know, yeah. Do maintenance on them. So.
Interesting.
I want to add something that I think is important if you happen to be an Uber driver. Something interesting on there with regard to property damage, and I did have a client a few years ago that experienced this. The deductible for property damage is $2,500. Now, Rose, can you tell me the average deductible for us average individuals on our policies?
Auto policies, personally, is it 5,000?
Five hundred.
Oh.
You can adjust it to get a lower rate, but typically it's 500. So if you are an Uber driver, you don't have it, your own insurance, and you're relying on that Uber policy, guess what?
It's five times.
Absolutely.
Wow. It's overwhelming. $2,500.
Oh, that's for anyone.
For anybody. Holy smokes. All right. Good stuff. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
We will talk about Birds and Limes. What else should we talk about?
Bubblers.
Bubblers.
I want to talk about the bubblers.
Bubbler bikes, not bubblers, the water fountain. Yeah. Do you call them bubblers, Rose, or what do you call them?
Bubblers.
Bubblers, good. That's the right way to call
them. Yeah, bubbler.
Yeah. All right.
I'm from Illinois. Sorry.
Oh, gosh.
I've never used one, though.
It is a water fountain.
A water fountain? Yeah, all right. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.